Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. 11 minutes after 9 o'clock is the time. It's time for the Roundtable panel. Rosemary Armijo is here. Alan Chartok is raring to go. And Associate Editor of the Times Union, Mike Spain. Good morning, all.
Morning.
Hey. Morning.
The email address, cut it out. The email address is roundtable at WAMC.org, roundtable at WAMC.org. Or you can go to our website, WAMC.org/roundtable, and there's a spot you can comment there and interact with your fellow listeners. Well, breaking news. Senior Obama administration official says Cuba has released American Alan Gross, who has been in prison for 5 years. The official says Gross has departed Cuba on a U.S. government plane bound for the U.S. He was released on humanitarian grounds by the Cuban government at the request of the United States, the official said. The official insisted on anonymity because the official was not authorized to discuss the matter, yada, yada, yada. Now, that just crossed few minutes before 9, CNN, I guess the only network in Cuba, the only U.S. network in Cuba, is showing that President Obama will make an announcement of a major policy shift of the U.S. to Cuba and vice versa at noon today.
Yay.
We can only speculate as to what that is.
Yep.
And, of course, I would suspect that this release has something to do with the agreement.
Sure. Rosemary, you're up to date on all of this.
Well, I've been to Cuba. I think this is fabulous news if it's true, and we really are going to liberalize our policy. It's only at least about 30 years too late. Cuba is an amazing country, and we have shut ourselves out of it. We ought to be in there investing, turning it into the vacation playland it could be. There should be American money there instead of mostly the Canadian money that's there now. I think it's great. No reason that this shouldn't have been done long, long ago. Yay.
Well, how far do you think the president will go?
Well, the CNN report says that he's going to announce a broad range of diplomatic and regulatory measures, and they say it's the most sweeping change in U.S. policy towards Cuba since the 1961 embargo.
Of course, we've been so reactionary. That could be, you know, we're going to put an ambassador there, and that would be a huge change, too. But anything is good, and hopefully the first step towards a normalizing relations.
And cigars. We'll need that.
Cigars, well, yeah. I do believe that Raul Castro has announced his own retirement. I mean, I think he's like 85 years old or something
he's
like that himself.
Quite old, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that there is a move afoot for a whole revitalization of the relationship with us and for the Cuban economy. However, you know, I think we should remember about Batista. Who preceded and
he was the dictator who Castro ousted.
Mafia-friendly dictator.
Yeah, right. Very friendly to the U.S. and to the Corleone family, if you saw Godfather 2.
Yes, I saw the birthday cake on the roof. Yes,
you saw it about 1,000 times. Yes, but do we want to make the same mistakes is my point. In other words, backing a whole bunch of corrupt enterprise in Cuba, as opposed to really doing it right.
Well, those are, you know, two extreme choices. Either we back a corrupt puppet, or we pretend Cuba doesn't exist. How about we like treat them like any other country on our border that we ought to have good relations with, and trade with, send tourists to? It's an amazing place. We're so unlucky not to have put it out of our lives for the past 4 years.
Okay, I'm sorry, Mike.
Well, I was going to say it will also mean, could also open the door to the reconnection of thousands and thousands of families,
right,
that have been separated, you know, by, you know, the
politics.
U.S.'s...
Yeah,
by
politics,
right.
Both sides.
There are a number of things to be said here. First of all, I want to cut the legs right off of your intellectual argument here.
Oh, no, already?
Rosemary,
I love when you do that.
because I agree with you. I mean, I think that's right.
That is a shot.
I just offered a shot.
That was a shot.
Yeah, it was a shot. But because I did want to offer you, you know, the idea that we have made mistakes ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
And we want to make
absolutely
sure we don't make them again.
Our policy towards Cuba has been execrable since the 50s.
It's kind of been embarrassing.
Yeah.
The whole world has recognized Cuba, and the whole world has been dealing with Cuba. When you went to Cuba, Rosemary, did you have to go to Canada and fly down?
Is that we had to cross over the border and say, hi, we're going to Montreal.
Actually,
Roselle
Chartok went twice. Once that way, and the other way from Kennedy, because there was a liberalization in the Clinton administration, or it may have been
a certain policy. Yeah, some journalists could go too, but... Anyway, this is very good news. I'm going to be watching the news later.
We shall certainly see. The president will make the statement at noon today. At least that's the plan.
One last thing, and that is part of the politics of Florida, which have guided the rest of this country, are the, you know, anti-Cuban folks who have come over, middle class.
Folks.
Yes,
yeah.
Anti-Castro. I'm so sorry. You're right. Maybe a sip of coffee would help. who have come over. And boy, I have one guy at the Ichiban restaurant who comes in there, and he always asks me how I feel about this, and I would tell him pretty much what we said just now, and he lets me have it. You know, and he talks about Castro, the dictator, and putting people in jail and secret police, you know, and this and that.
I mean, look at our policy towards Vietnam. We certainly had a much more horrible relationship with Vietnam. Yeah. We killed them. We bombed them. We have been any worse, any more stupid. And yet we have normal relations with Vietnam, and Cuba still continues in this limbo that we've
Because of Florida.
Well, and parts of New Jersey. I guess Hackensack, New Jersey, has the second highest population of Cuban-Americans.
Yes. So I think that's true, but isn't Menendez Cuban? Am I wrong about that? The U.S. Senator?
Senator from...
Yeah, from New Jersey. I think he is. Interesting. You're right about New Jersey, of course. But this is very hopeful, and I hope it happens. And, you know, here's Obama in the last 2 years of his administration, and more and more we're seeing, what the hey? I guess I'm just going to do what I want to do.
And I think you're right, Ray. It will open the door for Cuban cigars to
which,
be
you
sold
know,
legally the, in the U.S. once again.
The Dominicans are just as good. Dominican cigars are every bit as good nowadays.
It's all about branding.
I wouldn't know.
Well,
but you wouldn't know.
A good cigar is a good cigar.
Sometimes it's just a good cigar.
That's what Freud said, right?
That's right.
Of course, he's a noted quack. 18 minutes after 9
oh,
o'clock.
Oh, boy.
It's the Roundtable on WAMC. The email address here is roundtable@wamc.org. So we started talking about this story a couple of days ago, and it was sort of, ha-ha, oh, the hackers, they got Sony's information.
Yeah, wow.
It's taken a different turn.
Big strange turn. Isn't that
yeah,
awful?
The New York premiere of the comedy The Interview has been canceled following threats of violence against theaters carrying it. The Seth Rogen and James Franco comedy, which by all accounts stinks, is about a CIA plot to kill North Korea's Kim Jong-un. Security fears have spurred Sony to allow theater chains to cancel the showings. The New York premiere was scheduled for tomorrow night. The movie expected to debut across the country Christmas Day. The Department of Homeland Security said there's no credible evidence to indicate an active plot against movie theaters, but says it's still analyzing messages from this shadowy outfit called the Guardians of Peace, which has now escalated its attack beyond the hacking of private Sony emails. The group had released a trove of data files, including 32,000 emails to and from Sony Entertainment CEO Michael Linton.
So the question
is
well, but first of all, it's very unhappy that, I mean, the picture may stink, but it's an unhappy situation that we accede to these demands. That's pretty
totally.
Unhappy,
yes,
you know, because
we
wouldn't like that. Mike, is your shoulder okay?
I'm just fascinated by this conversation. Yeah. I really do. It has so many facets about freedom of speech, press responsibility,
sure.
and then how you should react to threats of violence. Because the people behind this have suggested that they will have 9/11 type attacks
yeah.
in movie theaters that play the movie. And in the face of that kind of a threat, what is the responsible thing to do?
And then there is no way to truly assess the threat. It appears that if you're a hacker, if you're a cyber hacker, you're not really a terrorist with the capability to blow up things, but you don't really know. And you don't know if that will incite others to
we'll
blow it up too.
And there's, there's some other things here, and that is, if they've grabbed all this material and regurgitated it to the consternation of the Sony people, what else do they have? So in other words, it may be blackmail, but the question is, what else do they have that may have been having to do with one's profits and losses, IRS related things, and you know, now they've shown that they're willing to let it all go.
I hope the CIA and the FBI are using, like, maybe, I don't know, torture techniques to find out and research this case. This is really, truly,
it does show you how vulnerable we are.
Well, the CIA has always done a wonderful job. For example, we knew that the wall was coming down.
Yes, they did. They gave Berlin us lots of warning about that, didn't they?
Not.
Yeah.
Well, the key here is the origination, the origins of this group. If it is in fact North Korea, then you have something tantamount to a declaration of war, not new for North Korea.
Right.
However, then that changes our range of responses a lot. Yeah. If this is just a group threatening and the quote is, here's the quote that was sent in the rambling email. Remember the 11th of September, 2001. We recommend you to keep yourself distant from the places at that time. If your house is nearby, you'd better leave.
Yeah, it's just really ridiculous. As the free speech extremists here, that also bothers me that they want to shut down this movie, execrable as it may be.
However, the other movie studios are saying, listen, you are going to kill our holiday business.
Exactly, because nobody will go to any movie.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. I'd like to see them put this on television and everybody in America can watch it and it gets wider viewing.
And everyone will say, it stinks.
Yeah.
Well, but it was looking like this was going to redound to their favor. Just all this talk about it, because who else would have known about it?
Well, right. It certainly will on the home front. I'm sure this will certainly boost home sales and pay-per-view.
Yeah.
Where presumably the North Korean
but
government
doesn't this
will
make you think about going to the movies on Christmas, which is
we do that quite frequently in our family.
Are you going to think about it this year because your movie theater could be blown up?
My movie theater is not getting blown up.
All right, let's take a break on that happy note. And then there's another angle to this. A couple of Sony employees have filed suit against Sony for negligence in this whole thing. We'll take a break. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.
Support for WAMC comes from the Wild Center, Tupper Lake, New York. Open Friday, Saturday, and Sunday from 10 to 5, where the wild world of the Adirondacks opens before your eyes. Wildcenter.org. High Meadow School, Stone Ridge, New York, working to engage learners and build knowledge through inquiry, creativity, and community service, nursery through 8th grade, highmeadowschool.org. And Sunflower Natural Foods Market, Woodstock and Rhinebeck, with local, handcrafted, healthy, and sustainable gifts, home goods, and gourmet foods, customized holiday gift baskets, too, on Facebook and sunflowernatural.com.
Nice atmospheric bumper music from Dave Hopper. That's Bill Lawrence. It's nice. Kind of like a Bruce Willis movie, you know, right before all the shooting starts. So we were talking about the Sony hack, which has now become bizarre threats. And there's a New York Times article, Quandary for Sony and Terror Threats over the interview. And a little bit down in this article mentions a lawsuit that was filed late Monday on behalf of two former Sony Pictures employees whose personal information was stolen and published online. Lawyers for the plaintiffs notified that the hackers had repeatedly followed through on threats to disseminate the data. The complaint, filed in U.S. District Court for the Central District of California in Los Angeles, states that Sony ignored warnings that its computer systems were susceptible to attack.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty huge.
I say good luck, Charlie. I don't think that's going to be a winning case. I mean, you know, anybody can be sued for not being assiduous enough in watching their web system.
It is kind of interesting, though, that Sony's garnering all of this sympathy and
garnering sympathy, but
well, under Governor Cuomo's plan, you know, of business having to do with the university, probably Sony and Sony will get together.
All right, now back to Rosemary.
But anyway, Sony is you know, please don't print our stolen material, and oh, you know, we're the subject of an attack. And I think this is true, that there were notices that they were susceptible and they were not protecting their system, and they should be accountable for that.
Oh, boy.
What about the press that released it and printed it?
fine.
Getting back to our argument,
as long as the press is not involved in Guardians of the of Peace, I think they're fine.
Well, I don't agree with you.
Okay. Here I know
we go.
You don't.
Here we go
I
again.
I think everybody who owns a business, who has an email system, or who has a website, is going to be shaking their head at you, Rosemary, and saying, "What? Now somebody who's worked for me, because something gets out, is now going to sue me? One more thing for me to worry about? I don't like it."
Well, they should be worrying about it, and maybe even we should be looking at whether all material should be kept online until there are protections that are real.
What do you mean all material should be kept offline?
Before the day, yeah, kept offline, like we did before the days of the computer.
Yeah.
What do you think, Mike? Would you print that on the TU?
Well, you know, we've already reported some of the elements of it, you know, the way that the Sony chairman spoke about Angelina Jolie and some...
So you did print that?
Some comments.
And
yeah,
president.
I mean, they've been right, in the way they referred to President Obama and the movies that he would like movies that
Django.
Have black themes, you know, like The Butler or Django in Chains. And just really, some of those have been come out in political columns, and that discuss the very issue of what... responsible press should do. But I agree with Rosemary. I mean, it's out there. It's like the Snowden papers. Once it's out there, you want to look at it to see if there's anything newsworthy. What if there were revelations that they were committing crimes?
Well, there were.
But is there a qualitative difference between government information, government purportedly to represent the people, that's us, and a private company like Sony?
Mm-hmm.
There's no qualitative difference.
I mean, investigative reporting goes after the institutions and people who have a huge effect on our life. And that has been government. Increasingly, it's corporate. It's international corporations.
Some people are comparing it to publishing the images of Jennifer Lawrence or even looking at the images that were hacked from her own personal Twitter site or Instagram site or something.
So you guys are so predictably self-serving.
Oh, boy.
Anything we want to do, we should do. We don't have to think of the ethics of this. We don't have to think of the morality of this. What if it were us who was being...
Should the press look at it before they decide whether they're going to print it? Should
of
they
course.
Look at it?
Well, I
of
don't
course.
Know. Yeah.
Well, what if there was important information in there about our national security that we might be able to warn people about?
Mm-hmm.
You have to look at it for
the corporation.
And once
you
look at it, then everybody has a different threshold. Like the New York Times won't report what's in it necessarily, some of this gossipy stuff, but they'll report that other people were reporting gossipy things.
Sure.
So everybody has their way of making it, you know, getting it into the conversation.
The Mike, Rex, Rosemary,
Tree. Rex isn't here, I don't
know.
No,
but I'm taking a shot.
Oh, boy.
You guys are always so, from the Media Project, are so predictable that no matter how off base, whatever the press wants, they should be allowed to do.
That's not at all.
That's
saying.
I don't
You're
think what
really
we said.
Struck. No. Oh my
I think
God.
We said we'd be looking at it, and if there was anything that was genuinely newsworthy,
if you get to the point where we're only going to take news from people who had lovely, lovely intentions and good motives, a lot of important stuff would never get to the people. This is not for the power of the press.
You could get down to a one-page newspaper if you did that. Just a one sheet.
Some of them are already down to a one-page.
All right. You know, you've really stirred up some trouble today, Shartok.
I'm trying.
I'm going to give you a chance, 2.5 minutes to make amends while we listen to the news. If you want to
write
in.
No, we're not talking to him.
Good. You know what? That's good.
Yeah.
Good. Roundtable at WAMC.org if you'd like to complain. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We'll get to your letters and we'll change gears and talk about some things in the Times Union coming up. Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. It's 9:33. By my count, it's a Wednesday, right?
Yeah, it seems to be Wednesday.
It's a Wednesday morning, and
it's wet.
Big news today out of the TU and the Albany area, which affects so much of what's going on in Massachusetts, in Springfield specifically, in Connecticut, in Pennsylvania, Rhode Island. And that's the announcement, Mike Spain, of where the casinos are going to go. We know that one may be in the Capital Region and maybe up to two.
In the Hudson Valley Catskill area, one in central New York.
What do you know, Joe?
Well, you know, New York is now getting officially into the Las Vegas-style casino gambling casino business. They're going to compete with all those states you mentioned, plus with the Native American casinos that are already operating in New York, like Turning Stone and others.
Akwesasne,
right north of us. And the New York State Gaming Facility Location Board is presenting its recommendations on where 4 licenses should be awarded in New York to the State Gaming Commission. And that announcement will be at 2 o'clock today. A lot of hype, a lot of excitement. Certainly in the Capital Region, there are 4 contenders, Schenectady, the city of Rensselaer right across from downtown Albany, the town of East Greenbush, which is just a few miles away from downtown Albany, and then Schoharie County. Howe's Cavern has a plan. Actually, it's the largest of all the plans to put a lodge out there.
Underground?
No, it would be above ground, but that'll be another attraction to go to the caves, mm-hmm. the famous caves in Howe's Cavern. And then the that one would probably end unemployment in a rural county where there's high unemployment, according to their backers. And, you know, that's part of the reason why the governor – well, that is the reason why the governor said he supported casino gambling in New York as a way to provide local economic development. But more and more, as, you know, Massachusetts is getting ready to open their casinos as close to here as Springfield. And then we have the Native American casinos that have grown, you know, in Connecticut.
Turning Stone. In Connecticut? Yeah.
Sure. You know, and Turning Stone is growing all the time, adding golf courses, et cetera. So it's very competitive. The question is how far will people be drawn from to these casinos, and it looks like less and less, as exhibited by,
and whether we'll make new gamblers because of the presence of these places.
That's another social issue that was debated during last year's constitutional amendment the political battle, sure. and the advertising and the campaign to pass a constitutional amendment.
Well, I think the answer to that is yes.
It'll turn more people into gamblers.
I think more people will go because it's there. Mm-hmm. Ray Graff in the break said something that was very interesting, which is that some of them, which are failing, may be looking at new business models.
They're not, and I would not, and I'm talking about Foxwood specifically, and they're not failing. They're still bringing in money hand over fist, but not as they once did in the heyday when they were the only game in town. This is before Rhode Island had a casino. And so my wife and I would go there before we had children, and it would be jumping. Where this is pre 9/11, pre crash of all markets, and you'd have people from all over Massachusetts, in particular there. And over the last 10, 12, 13 years, it has not been as jumping.
But didn't you also say something which I thought was very interesting that I had not heard about plans to make it into a business model?
Oh, it's already underway. So basically all of the casinos everywhere and Turning Stone is doing the same thing. They look for ways that are non-gambling related.
Entertainment, golf.
And in Foxwood's shopping. Case, they have the entertainment and the golf, now massive retail.
And Schenectady, I know, was very concerned about the entertainment portion of it, because many of these places have contracts with their entertainers that they're not allowed to play anywhere else within 100 miles or 50 miles of that place. And that, of course, would kill a place like Proctor's, or would substantially hurt a place like Proctor's.
That's why they brokered a deal to have sort of a cooperation
Indeed.
And collaborative role.
We'll see how long that holds up.
Well, that's interesting. If it does go to Schenectady, it's about a mile away, a little less than a mile away, maybe 3/4 of a mile away walk. And you know, would it pull away people to go over to Proctor's, or would it just keep Proctor's people over in the casino? Who knows?
So how many casinos does the region need? Do we have too many?
That is the perfect question. When do we hit saturation? I would suggest to you that when Springfield goes up, and if one goes up in the Capital Region and a couple in the Catskills, let's say, saturation will have been met by then. I think the economy is improving. The last time we were there was in August in Foxwoods. It seemed to be jumping. It seemed to have a different crowd and a different feel. So I suggest that it's a barometer of the economy improving. However, when is too much?
It's like shopping centers. We got too many of those, and now they're faltering.
There's
so
some
what
consolidation
happens?
That goes on.
So, but what about Atlantic City? I mean, you know, have you...
5 casinos in 2014 have closed their doors.
And some of them were just built.
Okay, so
hadn't even really gotten underway.
You have a case of expansion, too much expansion, an economy that's taking a nosedive, bad timing for expansion, and then, as Mike said in the break, the Aqueduct Casino makes money hand over fist in the New York City market. That was the primary feed, as was
Same
Philadelphia,
market,
to Atlantic City.
Well, that all has to do with N, you know, numbers of people available to go.
Exactly.
So if in New York City you have, you know, 8 million people, that's different than upstate New York, which doesn't have anything like that.
That's why Genting, the Malaysia-based company that operates the aqueduct Racino, has an enormous proposal in Tuxedo Park. They want to draw on the immediate New York City area. That's about 45 minutes maybe from Manhattan, and they would run buses. They even proposed putting in their own thruway exit.
Yeah. And this is a potential corruption paradise, I'll tell you right now, because when people start looking at the relationships that some of the legislators, some of the executives may have had. I mean, if I'm Mike Spain, the first thing I'm doing is putting a team of 7 or 8 reporters just combing through all of the records
campaign finance records.
Who gave what to whom
and then who picked whom.
Yeah, yeah, casinos all over Eastern Europe and Asia are doing the same things. They're coming in and getting great sweetheart deals. And it just seems it's almost like our politicians are looking for a very easy fix. This old jobs, instant jobs, instant money, hand over fist you're talking about, and it doesn't last.
And
it's
in our town
like
of
factories.
And in our town of Great Barrington, there's a very distinguished group. We're going around before our vote on this issue, the region-wide vote, putting up signs saying, talking about morality. They were church-based, and there are those people who think this is an immoral enterprise for government to be involved in.
What about church bingo?
Well, I agree with that, and I've said that many times, you know, that you can't be hypocritical about this. If you're going to oppose it, then you have to oppose it right across the board, and you can't say, because there'll always be the suspicion that because we have bingo, we don't want anything else out there.
So miniature Donald Trump's
Mike,
not wanting any competition.
Grimacing, Mike? I thought you might be grimacing.
Join the club. Email address is roundtable@wamc.org. I know we got one on casinos this morning.
Well, we have a lot of stuff. We have a lot of stuff in here.
Okay.
And from Ryan, yes, it's great that maybe things are changing with Cuba. It completely hides the fact that the president signed a budget into law that cuts the Women, Infants, and Children program, thus making it more difficult for poor people to feed their kids. Okay, and then more, it goes over the limit. And then Erica says, I agree with Rosemary that opening up travel and political relations with Cuba will be a wonderful thing and way too late in coming. But I don't like one comment she made about how we should, quote, turn it into the vacation playground it ought to be, as if we have the right to turn Cuba into whatever we want it to be. No, we don't. Let's not mess up another country as a result of our sense of owning the entire planet.
It's a beautiful country. It's going to be a playground, and that's what they're going to do because they'll make money doing that.
Well, sure.
It's
a
natural tourist place.
It has great beaches.
Oh, my God, it's beautiful.
Yeah. And then Bill says, folks, do you think the, quote, losers, those not selected for casinos, will take it lying down? I foresee many lawsuits, injunctions, et cetera, over this. What do you all think?
No, it's a little late in the game for that, don't you think?
Well, Massachusetts tried to undo their own
didn't work.
You know, proposition, and it didn't work. It seems like this horse is out of the barn.
Have you gotten any sort of, is there any scuttlebutt in the newsroom about where these are going?
You know, there have been rumors, but I don't think there's any authoritative rumors.
Well, what's the consensus among your reporters?
Not that this is authoritative.
No,
but
not at all.
The speculation is that East Greenbush, there are problems because the community is mixed about it. Mm-hmm. There are some speculation that Schoharie County is too far away to draw the audience they need, although as a destination, casino resorts are popular.
Sure.
Rensselaer.
And then you have Rensselaer right across from downtown. It's a city that can really use an economic jolt, and it's also going to share a lot with the city of Albany. The state would benefit from helping its capital city climb out of its own fiscal mess. They're facing a $16 million systematic budget deficit every year. And that could weigh into it. And then Schenectady, another city that could definitely benefit from a big jolt in their finances to upgrade their own infrastructure and to keep taxes down, et cetera, et cetera. So it looks like it might be close between Albany and, or, well, Rensselaer and Schenectady. But de facto, if it's right across the Dunn Memorial Bridge next to the railway station, it'll be an Albany casino.
Is the road infrastructure enough to handle something like that?
They just fix it all up.
In that spot.
They come over every morning.
You can shoot down exit, you know, if you're coming from below, you can shoot down exit 23. You can come in on I-90, just get on 787, go over the bridge, and you're there.
We could use public transport between Rensselaer and Albany. Yeah. That would be fantastic.
It would probably justify it. And there's been talk about light rail from the train station over to downtown. Maybe that would also take...
Or a hovercraft across the Hudson.
That's true. But, you know, they're talking about a special throughway exit or a 787 interstate exit right into the casino site. It's a beautiful site right at the base of the river, looking right up at the skyline of
beautiful
Albany.
Beautiful view of 787.
Well, no, you see the skyline of Albany. It'd be a great place from which to watch the fireworks on the 4th of July.
Instead of the green room, we could just go down there and throw a few slots.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, before we come out.
Shoot some craps with Mike Spain before the show.
That'd be great.
Great idea.
Robert says Springfield gets a casino and just announced a property tax reduction. Albany declined and just announced a property tax increase. And then takes a shot at the mayor, which is the mayor's job.
Well,
thanks,
Kathy. They weren't all officially backing it, but there was a lot of support to have one within the city limits. And the site they picked off exit 23 turned out not to be developable, if that's a word. It wasn't large enough, and the terrain would not support the kind of complex they planned.
Yeah.
So they moved it over to Rensselaer, the developers.
And Tom says casinos are a bad idea.
All right. Anything else? Does he
yes.
have reasons?
They don't create anything, and the states involved think they are going to get windfalls. Ain't going to happen.
Certainly when there are so many of them, it's going to be more difficult.
Well, I think they pay a minimum $100 million licensing fee or something like that, so the state will make the money out of the gate.
And Michael Rhodes said, I've heard no discussion about the traffic impact of a downtown Rensselaer or Schenectady location. What a mess.
I just said it.
I was just going to point that out. We did say.
And Schenectady just upgraded Erie Boulevard as you come off the interstate, and it would take you right to the location where the casino would be, it looks.
What time is the announcement due? I know they're meeting at 2. They're meeting at 2, but have they already made their pick?
Obviously.
I think so, yeah. And it will be interesting to see if representatives...
They're going to throw some dice to see which one gets it. They're doing that at 158.
Spin the money wheel. We'll
it
see.
Ain't right.
Yeah,
it right. Ain't right.
And
right.
the winner is.
Well, and what about the Catskills? Anybody in your newsroom have any idea?
Well, the argument has been, John Bonacek, the state senator who has pushed for this casino referendum a couple of years ago, to help his district, the Catskills, and others have said that if it's in Orange County, which is below the Catskills, a casino there might capture all the New York City area audience, and they might not navigate up to one that might be in Ulster County or Sullivan County. It would benefit them the more hard-hit economic areas of Ulster and Sullivan counties. You know, they used to have all the Borscht Belt places that are in decline.
Yeah. That's how it all sort of started,
Yeah, that's right, Alan.
And to me, that makes a certain amount of sense. If you're going to have them, revitalize that. But then they'll go south to Orange County and let
closer
them pick
to New York,
off.
Yeah.
Sure.
I agree. I think it would really make it difficult for the ones to succeed in Ulster or Sullivan if they put one in Orange County. But that's just my opinion. Others have expressed that, and perhaps they'll heed that and go where it's needed most.
Jeff says, Ray, please stop picking on Seth and James. My fiance will make me shut off the radio.
Stars of interview.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Okay, and I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah, and Ted said, there could be something in... Alan, this time you are right. Mike... There could be something in anyone's email determined by whom that may be a threat to national security. This opens up the door to being okay invasion of privacy under the guise of, as Rosemary would say, investigative reporting. Really? Anything and everything?
I'm amazed we have not heard from the feds any inclination of where this group is really based. And who is really backing them?
Yeah, I wonder if they know.
Is it North Korea? Is it people who were contracted by North Korea? It could be anywhere in the world.
Or just Russians, crazies who want you to think it's North Korea.
Well, is it true, too, that the interview depicts the assassination, the attempt to assassinate the leader of North Korea, that no film ever in the history of mankind has ever talked about the assassination
of a sitting actual character.
I think it's wrong, though, right? There was a German film that depicted the assassination of George W.?
And then Robert says, excuse me, Sony makes a movie about the assassination of a North Korean leader and markets it as, in big fat letters, comedy. And we're surprised at the reaction. This is a material right out of Phillips' Cops of the World, and it's notable with the news coming out of Cuba. How would we feel if North Koreans made a comedy, in quotes, about the assassination of President Obama?
Oh, we'd certainly be angry, but I don't know that we'd attack them.
I don't think we'd make threats to blow up movie theaters showing
them. I mean, during World War II, wasn't Hollywood, putting out parody after parody that were portraying Hitler as a boob?
Have you seen some of the Looney Tunes from World War II?
I mean, it was a common character of ridicule, and that was part of the propaganda, I guess.
Well,
and Beth says, folks, consider that no one has made a movie threatening the life of a sitting president by name, to the best of my knowledge. It's different to name a sitting leader rather than just a movie about taking out a generic leader. I don't condone the hack or threats. Just a thought to consider.
Well, it's funny. The Sony executives, and of course Sony based in Japan,
within missile distance of North Korea, they're taking it a lot more serious.
Yes, and I think there's a fair amount of surprise on the Japanese side of Sony that this would even get anywhere toward production stage. Apparently, this type of humor, regardless of who they're killing in the film, apparently this type of humor does not translate all that well with Asian audiences.
There was an exchange.
Or with some of the people who listen to WAMC, who take everything that is ever said, no matter how sarcastic or silly, thing.
Well, there's always a risk of that, that some people will take a sarcastic comment as actually, a factual statement. But there was an exchange of emails between the Sony chairman in Japan and Seth Rogen about the ending of the film where Kim Jong-il's head explodes, and whether and the way that it explodes and how many seconds that scene will be and how many parts of his head fly
around.
Now
you've ruined it for all of us.
Oh, spoiler alert. No!
And Rogan is like negotiating how much explosion there's going to be of the head. I mean, it's absurd.
Oh, boy.
Rogan has canceled all of his publicity tours and speaking about
this. He doesn't
this
need
movie.
To now.
Yeah.
You know what this does? This makes people who are believe in freedom of speech sort of required to go see the movie to stand up for the freedom
yes,
of speech.
Yes, I like figure I have to read, go see it.
Bring the kids.
Salman Rushdie's
watch
book.
The head explode.
Even though it was terrible, everybody wanted to go out and buy it because...
That was a terrible book. I bought it and I own it and I hate it reading
right.
it.
And remember the in the Brooklyn Art Museum, there was some offensive artwork that Rudy Giuliani wanted to ban, so everybody had to go look at it, even though it was stupid.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, but they felt like they had to go look at it because it was stupid.
The
because
religious icon.
They wanted to support freedom of
expression.
Well,
but it put the Brooklyn Museum right on the map in a way it had never been there
before. Well, Sony's on the map now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, all right. The email address is roundtable@wamc.org. Mr. Hopper, if you please, we'll take a break.
Support for WAMC comes from Hudson Wine Merchants, Hudson, New York. Celebrating 10 years of wine and food in the Hudson Valley, raise your glass, hudsonwinemerchants.com. The Office of Dr. Vivian Letizia, Woodstock, Orthodontic, Cosmetic, and General Dentistry, serving the Hudson Valley since 1986, woodstockdentist.com. And Evoke Style in Stuyvesant Plaza, presenting their new shoe salon, featuring women's footwear with a range of styles and sizes, evokestyle.com.
If you could only hear the conversations in the break.
The cow jumped over the moon.
The cow jumped over the moon. We're not going to do the Mars story. You guys have rebuked
me. No, the Mars story is great.
No.
You're going to put...
No, we'll do the Russian ruble.
Somebody's going to have a shovel. They're going to go down there. They're going to find the lost city of Atlantis down there.
At the risk of offending all of you very serious people, we will do the Mars story, and we only have 4 minutes left. And if you want to write in and say, what are you doing?
Do they spend ruples on Mars?
Well, I don't know. They might be worth more.
I have one sentence about the ruble, if I may.
Okay.
Don't mess with the world economic, Western economic system, because here's Putin going over the Ukrainian border and doing what he wanted to do, and everybody was saying, well, we're going to give him sanctions. It turns out that those sanctions can be very, very heavy. The question is whether it will destroy the rest of the world's economy.
Well, that's a great question. Yeah. Ford, Germany. All right, well, now we're into this.
It's,
so we might
it's
as well
not.
Do this.
It's not really the sanctions that did all this. You realize it is the incredibly dropping price of gasoline.
It's lost more than.
Yeah, but who's behind that one?
Sanctions are adding.
Who's that? Who's behind
well,
that
that's
one?
That's fracking in America, Alan. So are you no. changing your view on fracking?
The Saudis
no, I don't think.
Yes,
Michael. Yes, Michael. We're all talking at once, which is
that's
forbidden.
Fine. You guys go ahead.
But as Michael just said, the Saudis are well known to have kept the price down to punish their enemies, the Russians.
The Saudis definitely are not cutting back on supply, which certainly puts the pressure on. And what astounds me is all of the media, and we've got it spread out here in front of us, all these stories saying, oh, poor Putin, or gee, this is really bad for the whole world. This is like saying falling gas prices are bad. I hate economics. I did not do well in this school. I don't see that falling gas prices is a bad thing. I love it.
But
same with this. He's
under
pressure
now. Don't you think it's a double-edged sword? I mean, it's the gas price. No, it's the gas prices, and it's the sanctions. President Obama, I think today, is going to increase those sanctions.
Yeah, it says he's signing more sanctions. He's keeping the pressure
part
on.
Of the budget.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So
it authorizes more sanctions.
There's a great piece on CNBC.com by Jack Novak, and
right.
his sentence, which encapsulates it all, there's nothing more dangerous than a wounded animal. Vladimir Putin is wounded, and he's not known for holding back.
A, and B, the public opinion polls on Putin are still extraordinarily strong.
15 years
in
a row.
Country. He's
in
the,
his country, yeah.
The most
extraordinarily strong.
Which outstanding can, human or something.
Which can only be encouraging for him.
Well, his country is under attack, basically, because there are sanctions against him. He is under a lot of pressure for what he did in the Ukraine. But the effect of our sanctions against him and gas and all of that have put him where we wanted him. Why is that bad news?
Economic sanctions can backfire. You know, they certainly led after World War One. They fueled the hatred and the Nazi movement in Germany. And after World War II, the U.S. was going. It had, you know, historians argue that Roosevelt probably would have done a Marshall Plan for Russia, and Russia probably would have been our ally in the 50s and the 60s, you know, but we decided to punish them because Harry Truman didn't like the Russians and he just did the Marshall Plan in Europe.
We stuck for 40 years with a bad policy in Cuba. So now we have a policy that's effective against Russia and we're going to pull back.
Okay, but BP stock is down 25%.
English company, right?
Ford is down. McDonald's.
All good points, Ray.
McDonald's is down. Carlsberg, the Danish beer maker, which is very good, by the way, is down. Coca-Cola down 32%. All of this interconnected with Russia.
Yeah, yeah,
so eventually
yeah, yeah.
it hurts us and the West.
No, and Apple an Computer will not sell any more computers online in Russia.
Bonnie said, because we have we have no time left, but Bonnie said something that I want to repeat.
Fine.
Because it's the best email of the day. Remember, nobody knows you're a dog on the Internet.
What?
In other words,
nobody knows you're a dog on the Internet.
I don't know what
nobody
that means. Nobody knows who you are. Don't you see?
No, I don't see.
Okay.
Well, Bonnie's usually on point.
She is on point.
So there's no time left to talk about the most important possible news of our time, that there may, and this is the first time NASA has said this, that there may be the presence of life on another planet.
Let's put the casino there.
Okay, methane.
So you guys don't see the import of this.
No, I see it.
What's the import?
Methane.
Come on, you have 2 minutes.
No, we really don't. But, and listen, Bob Berman is with you. I've discussed this with him. I said, if we discover even microbial life elsewhere than this Earth, isn't it the most important thing ever? And he said, it's got to be there. And I say, incorrect. We don't know. There is this thing called the Drake Equation. And I don't have time to do this.
Equation? Oh, my God, we just got homework.
You guys,
that's Sir Francis Drake.
Is this going to be on the quiz?
No, you know what? I've had it with you people, and you're leaving now. It's roundtable at WAMC.org. Thanks to Rosemary Armeo, Mike Spain of the Times Union, and Alan Shartok. Please email. The conversation does continue online, WAMC.org/roundtable. I've had it with this crew.
Dog on the radio.